Blog Talk Radio.
Tupac, please. He's going to tell black people what to do. He recites some history. Please, all these gangster rappers telling black people with college educations what to do. That doesn't strike you as odd?
Okay, so you're saying that lower class blacks have the upper and middle class in check.
You know it. You'd get called Uncle Tom in a second if you went against the kind of agenda they set. Right? I mean, I'm not saying be white, but this tough guy stuff is not exactly your Stanley Kaplan formula for success. Imagine if white people were dictated to by white trash. We'd all live in trailer parks and West Virginia would be the most populous state.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, live in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Divas, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
You know, folks, I never get tired of that intro. I just don't. It's so blaringly truthful. You know, when we talk about lower tier and upper tier and all these different tier levels in black and brown communities, or I should say cross-racially, when you listen to that clip, Again, starring Harold Perrineau, you know him from the Lost series, also from Oz, when they go back and forth about educated blacks being told what to do by rappers, educated blacks being told what to do by rappers. That's a very profound statement. Again, check out A Day in Black and White. I think it came out circa 1999, 2000. It's still available, an independent film, A Day in Black and White with Harold Perrineau. Check out the entire film. Very profound treatise or discourse on race. Folks, if you haven't guessed it, it's the Midweek and Review edition of Afro Nerd Radio. Welcome once again. I'm your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. the Afro Nerd. Also with my partner in White Collar Crime, Captain Kirk. We've got a lot to discuss for this midweek edition. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. As always, we give you a blast of urban alternative music. We play everything, past, present, and future. In this instance, let's go back to the past, a classic joint from, I guess, the precursor of black rock, a precursor or harbinger of black rock, with Mother's Finest, Baby Love, a classic. Let's groove, folks. We'll be right back.
There is no
Baby,
okay, enough of that. Once again, that was Mother's Finest, Baby Love. We're back, folks. Midweek edition of Afternerd Radio, a.k.a. Afternerd, featuring Captain Kirk. Speaking of the captain, he is needed. Captain, come on up. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yes, it is I, the captain. But enough about me. The great Afro-Nerd has an interesting poetic diatribe that I want him to get right into. And I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. So let's get it started, sir.
Yes. Thanks, Captain. Listen, I've mentioned one of our members of the Afro-Nerd team, definitely one of the core folks from the inner sanctum. Her name is Sally V. She comes in from time to time, and she's a dear friend of ours. And we have a strange relationship. I was just thinking about this. We go to the gym. We're working out. Not only are we working out the physical, but we're also working out the cerebral at the gym. This is something I don't even know if the captain. Well, I'm pretty sure the captain is aware of this. But sometimes you have to step back and realize what we do that I think not too many people do, or maybe it's not really known that we get into these fairly intellectual conversations at the gym. Sally V is part of Generation Y, while the captain and myself are part of Generation X. So we try to impart knowledge on this young woman, and she appears to be appreciative of it. But because of her relative youth, sometimes we get into it playfully. Sometimes we mix it up over different topics. And we talk about all types of things. And again, I try to impart, and I know the captain does this as well, what we know to assist her in her travel. She's a student. She's doing quite well in college. So we try to give her a heads up on some things, little nuggets to help her out. This can be from history to science, sociology, psychology, you name it. So in this particular instance, she brought to our attention, and I think I was vaguely aware of this incident. It's a pretty horrific thing. I believe it took place on a New York subway where you see, and again, folks, people are taping your every move. And sometimes you might think of it as an annoyance. Other times, thank God someone is taping these things. It's a weird, weird time we're living in. You know, we are talking about, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. You know, it is like that. Anyway, there's this video that's on YouTube that shows a young woman who appears to be asleep and or intoxicated. And you see this miscreant fondling her between her legs, a molestation move, and it's taking place on a subway that's, for the most part, empty. I would assume it's only three people there. The person that is filming this, the perpetrator, and the victim. So Sally V approaches me, and it ends up being one of those around-the-horn moments also, where I'm asked a question, then we proceed to ask other people from our tribe, what would you do? So I don't think I gave her the answer she really wanted. You know, I gave her an answer that dealt with hesitation and calculation. And as a young woman, and you're going into the emotional thing also, she's assuming that I'm going to rush in and play the hero in an instant. And I didn't give her the answer she wanted. I said, listen, I'm going to weigh my options. I'm going to see what am I looking at? What am I looking at? And then I would, if anything, go to the conductor, get some assistance, because I don't know what this man is capable of. He looked to be unarmed. Heed my words, folks. He looked to be unarmed. He looked to be small of stature. Okay, I'm 6'2", 205 to 210, so I have some size to me, and I do work out or what have you. Not about cowardice, but you don't know if this guy has a gun or a knife. You don't know what a person is as capable of molesting someone in public view. To me, is capable of anything. Not that I wouldn't come to this young woman's assistance, but I guess I'm supposed to be Batman, who incidentally is always fully equipped. Batman, and just, you know, rush in. That wasn't the answer she wanted. She wanted someone to go in without a thought and defend this woman. So a few days later, which is often what I do, I always think about these things. And I guess I am concerned about what she thinks of me to a certain degree. This is, again, shouting out Sally V. And we were going through different scenarios, actually. We said if it's a child, I'd rush it in an instant. If it's a child where I don't have to question what I'm looking at. If it's a child, there's no questioning. Remember the Sandusky case, Captain, where this person, I think one of the administrators, walked in on a grotesque shower scene, looked at it, was shocked, and then walked away. Something like that with a child, you rush in. You can rush in with confidence. With something like that, I'm not sure. And also, additional information came out where Sally told us that the person that filmed it, he said he was scared, and he proceeded to do something afterward, but he didn't know what he was looking at. Also, he didn't know what this guy was capable of. Anyway, you find out that he was able to witness the perp walk in and accost a woman. I was led to the impression that this was in progress, whereas I don't know the relationship between these two people. You don't know what kind of freakish situation is going on. And you hear these type of things all the time. So it made me think of an adage. And I'm always talking about adages, folks, because adages are very rarely wrong. A stitch in time saves nine. Or time heals all wounds. These adages very rarely fail me. So something came to my mind a few days later after this conversation. And mind you, there were other folks from our inner sanctum that when they were posed this question, they didn't give the answer the way that she wanted it also. Anyway, there's an adage that came to my mind a few days after this discussion. And the adage is, and I want our listenership to understand my love for adages and to understand this specific adage that I'm sure you have all heard of. The adage is, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Sometimes I think it's also wise men. Either way, wise men or angels, you can flip it around however you want. But let me repeat this. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. The meaning of this is, it means when the rash or inexperienced will attempt things that wiser people are more cautious of. The rash or experienced will attempt things, ladies and gentlemen, that wiser people are more cautious of. This is why many of our young folk can't make it past 20, 25 years of age. It takes a great deal of wisdom to make it into the double digits in your aging experience. When you see someone who's 70, 80, 90, now we're talking about people who are able to live to be centurions, 100 plus. When you can make it to 100 plus, there's a great deal of wisdom to be able to survive unscathed for a century. But if you can make it, if you can't make it past 20 or 22 or 25 or 30, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So I hope our friend, our student, we call her a student, and that's what she is to us. Oh, she gets a, I guess a chance to hear this broadcast, and if not, I'm going to bring it up anyway when I see you in a gym. Captain, any thoughts about this? This is just me pontificating out loud. What are your thoughts?
Well, as I said in the gym, I said the first thing you have to do is see what's going on, then you have to respond. You just cannot respond to a situation. You have to assess the situation, and then you know how to respond. If you just respond emotionally, which a lot of people do, and remember, emotion bypasses conscious thought. This is why they say people are a fool in love, because the love is an emotion and you're not thinking. So you do a lot of stupid things that you normally would not do if you were thinking. So you do not want to respond emotionally. You have to assess the situation, and then you know how to respond. That's all. And I think what you said was excellent. That's what you have to do. Essentially, that's what you were saying through the whole thing. Let me see what's going on, then I know how to respond. If there's a child there, you know automatically what's going on. There's nothing to play around with. You know what this is. Then you know how to respond right away. Okay, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to kick the individual in his face. Then I'm going to conduct. You know how to respond, you know. But in this situation, you didn't know, because also based on the information that was given to you. So there you have it, Sir Afro-Nerd. Well said.
Yeah, you know, listen, Captain, there's been so many instances, and we come across this so many times. I know that since you've been doing the show with me, we educate each other, and I'm sure you and I have gone back and forth with daily instances of foolishness where people, and unfortunately with folks of color, where we seem to react, as you said, emotionally, and we don't do the due diligence, we don't do the appropriate analysis, the appropriate evaluation or calibration. We refuse to do this, and we lose constantly. A few weeks ago, maybe within 2 weeks, I remember, I even played a clip, and I'm going to play another clip, actually, when I was on Rob Redding's show again, folks. I do support this young man. He's a gentleman that has a terrestrial and extraterrestrial presence, satellite presence, on Sirius FM. I'm sorry, Sirius XM, excuse me. Sirius XM, the Rob Redding show. And he spoke of a story involving a young woman who claimed to be burned by three men in white hoodies.
Yes,
hoodies,
yes.
Captain. Now, that was the first. That was the first clue. I'm thinking, well, why didn't you just say hoods? Why did you say hoodies? So all these calls are coming in. I gave my normal, my quotidian, as I say, my quotidian answer that didn't play over well with his audience. Everyone else is, we have to do something. These white folks are getting at us. I mean, just blah, 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 blah. No one does the due diligence as to who is this person making the claim. It's unfortunate, but I've seen way too many cases where you're going to have to evaluate, you're going to have to do some evaluation as to who the victim is, as well as the perps. It is that way now. Everyone's talking about, we got to get on these white folks, racism, racism, it's going down, how dare they do this to our young black women. Come to find out, this black woman appears to have lied. Had some emotional issues, self-inflicted situation. But now, I don't hear anything. I hear tumbleweeds, Captain. I hear whistling in the wind. But when it first went down, everybody is, you know, the creature is filled with rage. Everyone's ready to get down. Now, I laid back for a second, did my Batman or Black Panther stealth move, laid back in the shadows and say, okay, let me see what I'm looking at. The fools rushed in. Now, we don't hear anything now. We don't hear anything now. And I see these situations time and time again. And I don't understand what is wrong with us, what is wrong with us being tribal, where we can't evaluate folks' character. We totally negate character and go in for the killer. Matter of fact, one more story, and then we'll move along to our assigned topics. In Long Island, about 2 years ago, there was more than several, I think it involved, I guess, seven or eight students at Hofstra University. For those who are familiar with Hofstra University, it's where the second presidential debate took place a few weeks ago. Anyway, at Hofstra, a young woman made a claim that she was raped by upwards of, I think, five or anywhere between four and six men. It was a gang rape. So when you first hear the story, oh, my God, we have to rush in. What the hell's going on? You've come to find out, thankfully, not that this isn't a freaky situation, whether it's consensual or not. It's freakish. But this is the times we're living in. The young men that were essentially perceived as the perps, they had recorded the situation, and they were able to decipher that this young woman had consented to a freak fest. But the first you heard of the story, oh, this went down the way that she said it went down. Come to find out, she was so fearful of losing her boyfriend for being perceived as a wanton woman that she was willing to put these young men, put them in the criminal system for something that was a consensual act. And they did, they were, I believe, in Rikers or somewhere, they were held based on her words. And unless the truth came out, because the boyfriend thought that she was acting a little strange, that she didn't really want to pursue this, he pushed it. If it wasn't for that video footage where she consented, these men might be in prison today. But I'm supposed to be the fool that rushes in. We're supposed to be the fools that rush in, Captain. And again, character determination doesn't play a role in this. And I see this. I see that we are backing away from being a bit too polite. You can't be polite when these circumstances go down. You have to evaluate and analyze. That's it. All right, folks, again, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, we're doing our midweek review show. The call-in number, don't be scared, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We've got a lot to get to. Actually, you know what? I do want to play a clip, and I was on Rob Redding's show for quite some time. This is when you know, Captain, this is when you know we are deserving of a contract. When I simply call in as a caller, and it happens time and time again. What makes me so different than average Joe when I call in?
Because your name is Afro Nerd.
Well, that's part of the reason. But check out this clip, and then we'll get, because I believe we can dovetail off of this clip into the assigned topic. So I want you to listen to this thing, and we need to go on extraterrestrial. It's time. It's time. But I think, what is it? What does the Joker say in the first Joker in the Batman thing? Wait till they get a load of me.
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
In Jack Nicholson's voice, wait till they get a load of me.
Load of me.
All right. That's what they're dealing with if they get to the captain and myself. If they were, it would be a scary proposition. All right, folks, let's get into it. This is Afro Nerd on Rob Redding's show. Hold on.
We're talking about a talk show host that says that black people that voted for President Obama simply because of the color of his skin and the color of their skin, they're bigots. They're bigots. And some people say, well, call me a bigot. That's fine. And they say that he shouldn't have lost his job. Now, we got Rush Limbaugh, who is a racist blowhard. We've got him saying some of the most vile things. Vile. Crazy things. And he won't lose his job. He didn't even utter anything close to what Rush Limbaugh utters. Or Donald Trump, for that matter. But they still have their shows. They're still not missing any meals. It's amazing to me. It is amazing. Afro Nerd in New York, you're up.
Mr. Redding.
Hey.
Listen, you know me by now. I'm not going to mince my words, and I'm not going to be contrite like your other listeners. The deal is this. Black folks need to stop apologizing for being tribal, because we learn tribalism from the best. We learn tribalism from our former white masters. White folks have been able to vote for their interests as easy as drinking Avion water. When we do what they do, it's a problem. If you can go to eBay right now and purchase for colors only signs from the 60s and 50s, you can purchase for whites only signs. White folks have drafted the Bible of tribalism. So when we do what they do, it's a problem. There's no way in hell we should have to answer for this. The deal is, aside from yourself and a few other media personalities, there's really no black infrastructure to answer this stuff and to combat it properly. We used to have Adam Clayton Powell Jr. We used to have Dr. Martin Luther King. We used to have El Hajj Malik Shabazz. We used to have some strong leadership that would smack this stuff down. Now we have sycophants and minstrels. That's why we have this problem. But it's an easy argument to dispel. Can you imagine the hubris? Can you imagine the level of arrogance to discount black folks for doing? And better yet, we were polite about it, Mr. Redding. We were polite about it because we actually, at least in our mind, we voted for a qualified black person. What's their excuse for Bush? This is an easy argument. We need to have stronger voices like your own to come out and say, you got to be kidding. This is an easy argument to dispel.
So your position is that we shouldn't be apologizing for supporting President Obama, given the fact and the history that we have in this country. I'm with you, my friend.
Well, listen, think about this. President Barack Obama cannot even vote in an all-black cabinet. Matter of fact, I believe Governor Richardson at one point was during the 08 campaign. His name came up, but then it was talk, well, there's too much color on that ticket. Now, white folks have been able to vote in all-white cabinets up until recently, but able to vote in melanin-deficient folks as easy as pie. But Obama can't do that, and yet when black folks talk about being tribal, it's a problem. And under those circumstances, we could never be tribal. We could never support our own. It's a dumb argument. It's a dumb argument.
Hmm. Well, do you think the fact that he lost his job because of this is also a dumb argument too, though?
He should not have lost his job. That's what I meant by having a strong black media infrastructure to combat this. We have too many minstrels, too many reality shows, too many court shows, too many talk shows where you see dysfunctional blacks. Now, I'm going to point it like
well,
that.
Well, wait a minute, hold on. You know this guy is a white guy, right? I mean, it's not like a black media platform would help him.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is you need to have soldiers to be able to deal with these arguments. These things are going on all day long, Rob, and there's no counterbalance. There's no arguing from our side to push it back. When I was younger, I remember seeing strong black leadership that would not allow this. Jewish folk would not allow this kind of discourse. Why is it that we are allowing this discourse to go unanswered? They just fire him without him being challenged. You need to challenge these people. I have even what I do on the internet,
hold on a second. Before we go there, I know you're a good guy, Afro Nerd, but and I know we've got other callers behind you, and they badly want to get in. I'll get them in just a moment. Everybody be patient. Just hold on for a second. But Afro Nerd, I've got to ask you this. You consistently call into the program. You're one of my brightest listeners. Why is it, though, that we're talking about this guy, Slayton, what he said, he's been fired, and Rush Limbaugh still has his job? Donald Trump still has his job. I don't understand. I mean, we've got somebody who makes, really, to be honest with you, I mean, while it might be an uninformed observation or one that is unsympathetic to black people, he makes an observation that's obvious to him. And there is some truth in this observation, not a whole lot, but there's some there. But these other guys are saying stuff that's crazy, yet they still have jobs. They still are, they're outlandish in their comments. How is that?
Well, I study this stuff. The reason why this is going on, firstly, they have a large media machine, a lot of money behind these individuals. And again, we do not, as black people, have a real strong front against this kind of stuff. You have the JDL that represents Jewish folk to specifically counter this kind of stuff. Where is the black infrastructure to counterbalance the Rush Limbaughs, the Sean Hannitys, that say all these out-of-pocket things? What we do have, as I said before, we have a minstrel industry that they get deals, they have a voice, but unfortunately their voice does not talk about these kind of things. You are fortunate enough to have one of the few people I listen to, aside from folks on the internet, that are able to speak more succinctly about this stuff. No disparaging words towards Steve Harvey, but we have a lot of people that are comedians and clowns.
He's a clown, buffoon. Add some other stuff to it, too.
Well, I'm being kind.
Yeah, you are
That's
being kind. Yeah, Afro Nerd, hey, thanks for your phone call. Let me see. We're talking about a talk show host that says that.
All right, folks. That's that. Captain, why am I on there so long?
Well, that was some of your best work ever, by the way. Some of the best work.
Thank you, man.
You had the audience reeling.
I'm ready.
You had them on the ropes. You was ready to knock them out.
boy.
I loved it.
I'm ready for my close-up.
You were on fire, baby. On fire. That's how you handle it.
That's the deal.
He didn't want to let you go. He didn't want to let you go, but he had to let you go.
Well, a package is being sent, Captain, incidentally.
Oh, yes, of course.
I'm just letting you know. We're going to do this enough where we will break loose. That's just the way it is. I'm fully confident about that because I don't really hear too many other radio programs that do what we do. You know, enough with the clowns. Time to send out the clowns, Captain. It just is what it is.
Oh,
all right,
man, that was good.
Dovetailing off of the tribalism, and listen, I go in and out of tribalism myself. I think, if anything, we have to analyze what we're doing. And I have issues with tribalism. I didn't have time to get into that. But you can't condemn black folks for being tribal when the mainstream culture is tribal. Everyone seems to be able, or everyone is allowed to be tribal, except the black folks.
No, you nailed it with that. You nailed it with that. You nailed it. That argument, you killed it.
How can we be the only ones critique for tribalism? We're the only ones that critique for tribalism. Jewish folks are able to be tribal. Asian folk are able to be tribal. Indians are able to be tribal. But black folks seem to be the ones that get the critique for it. Come on now. You have different rules.
Too dark. Too strong.
You know, I forgot to mention this during that discourse, Captain. But the greatest amount of arrogance is, you know, imagine the restaurant counters, the lunchroom counters, the water fountains, the bathrooms, and essentially a white man had said, "Well, this is my water fountain. This is a white water fountain."
Yep.
That is, we know it's racism, but it's also tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
This water fountain I'm marketing X. This is a white water fountain. Come on now, you can't develop that history, and then the one instance that you see a qualified black person, seek the highest office in the land,
because other black folks want to vote in their reflection, like you were able to vote in your reflection. You can't, you're not even, they're so arrogant, they don't even see what they do. As I said, it's as easy as Evian water, easy as pie. When we do it, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. You can't do that. How dare you? What? Sit down. All right. You know what, Captain? We have to go to a musical break because time is moving. We need to get to the topics.
We're on fire. You're on fire tonight.
After the music break, I want to get into dovetailing off of that tribal issue. Get into, once again, you know, we talked about this, the instances of some citizenry, some of the white citizenry. I hate to talk about white, black, but this, it is what it is in this case, with folks wanting to secede from the union. 20-plus states, citizens in these states, I should say, from 20-plus states are going to or submitting requests from the White House to secede from the union, like it's 1861, like it's 1861 instead of 2012. The second term is more dangerous than the first. Why are these people considered traitors? I'm just saying. But we're going to a musical break, and when we come back, we'll talk about these 20-plus states that want to actually secede from the union. They want to be separate from the United States. And it just so happens to coincide with what happened last Tuesday. Funny how that is a coincidence, Captain. All right. This is a classic from Living Color. You know, we always do the urban alternative thing, folks. This is Love Rears Its Ugly Head, Soul Power Remix by legendary rock group Living Color. We'll be back in a few moments. Shouting out the Black Rock Coalition, folks. Let's get to it.
standing at the altar as they play the wedding march. I'm in a black tuxedo with my collar full of stars.
All right, enough of that. Once again, that was The Mighty Living Color. Love Rears Its Ugly Head. Love Rears Its Ugly Head, giving you the best of urban alternative, classic hip-hop, jazz, house, you name it. We will play everything, new and old and future, that conventional radio absolutely refuses to play. Welcome once again to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, folks, don't be scared. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know, the last show, the Captain and I, we were talking about this notion of, dare I say, white meltdowns, white and or Republican meltdowns. And they're happening with such great frequency, and they're continuing to happen all over the place. One young woman in Arizona, we hear, damn near killed her husband, ran him down. He's in critical condition right now because he refused to vote. He decided someone to vote, which was his prerogative. But she felt, she was so incensed, so raving mad, that she harmed her quote-unquote significant other because she thought that having a second-term black presidency was so nerve-bending that his one vote would have turned the tables. His one vote would have turned the tables. And when he refused to participate, she ran him down in a car in a mad frenzy. And you're hearing more and more instances of these cases of people that just can't fathom a second term with this man in office. It's coming off like it's the end of all times. End of all times. I mean, come on. Anyway, perhaps one of the biggest examples of a meltdown are folks that have petitioned the White House. I think if the White House receives upwards of 25,000 signatures, that they have to respond. Not that they have to acknowledge or concede, you know, because I doubt that's going to happen. You know, we want to leave the United States. Oh, okay, no problem. Sign here on the dotted line. I don't think it's going to go down that way. But it's just interesting to know that this second term, we've seen Democrats get into office before. Just, you know, no one was talking about secession when Clinton was in office or when Carter was in office. But why this particular Democrat? What makes Barack Obama so demonstrably different than the other Democrats? I mean, you know the answer to this question, folks, but I'm just putting it out there. The logic behind this, or the illogic, is amazing, that you have citizens, I think upwards of 100,000 total, within the 20-plus states that are petitioning to secede from the union. And this kind of talk is what led to our most notable conflict with the Civil War. So let's go to a clip by the Young Turks, and they will unpack it, and so will we. 20 states want to secede from the Union, folks. This is amazing stuff, 2012. Hold on.
Some Republicans are so disgruntled with what happened during the elections that they have now started secession plans. In fact, they're going to the White House website and formally requesting a secession. Now, it doesn't really work that way. You don't petition the White House, and the White House goes, oh, well, I see that Alabama would like to secede. Okay, well, then go ahead. Right? Well, you've got your 25,000 signatures. I guess there's nothing I can do to stop you. No, but what it does is if you get past 25,000 signatures, then the White House has to respond to you. That's the system that they've set up on their website. So, for example, the state of Alabama, and it's not the state, and it's not their governor or anything. I don't want you to get it wrong, okay? But it is people within the state have asked for this petition. Quote, we petition the Obama administration to peacefully grant the state of Alabama to withdraw from the United States of America and create its own new government. So the minute this started getting any kind of attention, it immediately exploded. Over 30 states have now registered to secede. Again, it's not the actual states, it's people within the states. So who is going to be the leader on this board of dumbasses? Well, of course, Texas. Texas, as we go to air today, has over 84,000 signatures. Louisiana, over 30,000. Florida, 25. Georgia, 24. Alabama, 23. Tennessee, 22. North Carolina and South Carolina, 22. Arkansas, 16. Colorado, 16,000 petitions saying we'd like to secede. If you noticed, the great majority of those were red states. Really shocking. Now, it's interesting because Mitt Romney talked about the makers and the takers. Paul Ryan always talks about that. It's this Ayn Rand philosophy. You know what? 53% of the country are the makers. We make this stuff, and then these mooches come in and they take our stuff. Well, let's look at that top 10 list and figure out who the makers and takers are. Hey, look, three of them are actually makers. Now, this is the amount of money they get back from the federal government for every dollar they send to the federal government. So the citizens of Texas only get 85 cents back, so I can understand why they're slightly disgruntled. Arkansas is 73 and Colorado 91 cents. But when you look at the great majority of the list, they are the takers, the moochers. Louisiana takes $1.10 for every dollar they send, Florida $1.20, Georgia $1.09, my personal favorite, Alabama at $2.03, Tennessee at $1.11, North Carolina $1.13, and another deep red state, South Carolina, living off of welfare from the federal government at $1.92. Now, Tennessee was on that list. One of their congressmen has been threatening secession for a long time, Zach Womp. Here's what he said a couple of years back. He said, I hope that the American people will go to the ballot box in 2010 and 2012 so that the states are not forced to consider separation from this government. Well, if states like Alabama want to secede, there's a certain mountain man that has a message for them that I'd like to share with you all.
And I said, get away from here. Get. Get.
I love that clip. Alabama. Listen, you traitors in Alabama, you want to talk about treason? You want to talk about leaving the United States of America? Now, it's not the whole state, obviously, but all these people that signed the petition, including in Texas, over 80,000 people, okay? That's exactly what you are. You are un-American. Literally, it's the exact definition. You want to commit an act of treason and leave this country? Are you kidding me? You'll be begging us for a pathway to citizenship within 20 years. In fact, if it's Alabama, they'll be begging us for a pathway to citizenship to Mexico in 20 years. What the hell is Alabama going to do without the rest of us? Look, if after Bush won, could you imagine if New York, Massachusetts, and California said, you know what, we want to secede. Here's what would happen at Fox News. How dare they? We're going to withdraw our troops from them. Look, Bill O'Reilly already talked about letting the terrorists bomb Coit Tower in San Francisco. And they didn't do anything near a secession effort in their state. But luckily, of course, those states are solidly within the union because if you took those guys out, Alabama, without the economic power of New York and California behind it, what are you going to do, son? What are you going to do on your own? Oh, are you going to have a huge economic capital in Tuscaloosa? Am I offending you? Am I offending you? Look, there's a lot of great folks in Alabama. I've been to Alabama. Lovely state and a lot of good progressives. But there are a lot of knuckleheads in Alabama. If I had to pick one state to go, I'd pick Alabama.
All right, folks. It's a rather lengthy clip, but I believe you get it. Again, that was Cenk Ungar, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, with current news, and also he has his own internet/YouTube presence with the Young Turks. And it's a progressive outfit. I'm a moderate conservative, slash libertarian now. I mean, there's things that are going on within the Republican Party that I've noted before on this broadcast that make me comfortable. The lack of rational thought appears to have left the party, since it's been overtaken by the Tea Party and people on the far right. It is what it is. It is what it is. You know, I am what they would call a rhino, a Republican in name only. Not Republican enough. So, but it's not going to deter me from speaking truthfully. And this is racism. on a wide scale. But, you know, listen, it's 100,000 people I think they're talking about. You know, if you go into the mathematics, it's a very small amount compared to the entire population of the U.S. You know, it's probably 0.0001% of the population. Nevertheless, it is to be noted. It has to be discussed, unpacked. But this is racism, it's madness, and it's sour grapes. And I'm seeing implosions. We've been talking about this really since last week, obviously, but we're seeing the tweets, we're seeing the Facebook rants, we're seeing, as the captain noted during the last broadcast, we're seeing the pundits, we're seeing everyone come out. Now we're seeing this wacky initiative, this wacky petitioning initiative that the president does have to answer, unfortunately. If it's upwards of 25,000 signatures, he does have to answer this petition. And it's going to be, you know, whatever. That's probably what's going to be his response, because you just answer it. It doesn't really mean anything. I guess it's symbolic in some way, but are we going to have a Civil War Part 2 over this? I don't know. But it just amazes me. You know, were black folks ever to be considered Americans? I mean, Barack Obama is an American citizen, even though they question that, but he's an American citizen who, like any other American citizen, sought the highest office in the land and won twice. What's the big deal? Our friend from New Jersey, you call from time to time, who laments and waxes on and on about why do we have to continue calling ourselves black and why can't we all be Americans? Well, this is why. This is why. You have all these citizens from these states, simply because of this man's hue and ethnicity, that want to break up the union over some melanin. This is what this is about. Because if he were a white Democrat, because we've seen other Democrats get into office, the reaction was never this bad. If Hillary Clinton had won instead of Barack Obama, and even if she had sought health care, because health care was her issue. When she was first lady in the 90s, health care was a Hillary Clinton issue. So it's not that hard to conceive that she would have also sought universal health care under her administration. Do you honestly believe that she would have been lambasted and or critiqued as a socialist? Do you think there would have been talk of secession? I don't know. But I think that it's a little extra with a black person there. It's a little extra. Captain, your thoughts?
Well, first, since that Texas is the biggest leader in this, I want to talk about Texas for a little bit. Now, what people have to do, this would just be a little history lesson. For those of you who are historians, it's just a refresher course. But for those of you that don't know, it's a history lesson. Texas joined the Union in 1845, okay? And before that, it was an independent state set up. And I think before that, you know, it belonged to Mexico. When they joined the Union in 1845, and this is where these politicians get everything messed up. They get everything messed up. They don't read their own doctrine. They don't read their own clauses. Texas is allowed to, now listen to me, Texas is allowed to split itself into five separate states, dividing unilaterally, if they decide within their state. Let me repeat that. Texas is allowed to split itself into five separate states. They have the right to divide unilaterally if they decide within it. There was never anything there that said you have the right for secession. Was never there. It was never there. So these politicians and these pundits that are giving false information, they don't read what's going on. Now, what they did in 1861, Texas, because of Civil War, and they actually were a slave state, they joined the Confederate States and said, listen, we want secession. They said, all right, go ahead. We're going to wipe you out anyway, but go ahead. 1861 being significant, and also 1865 being very significant, the end of the Civil War. And also for you, black man, 1865, as an average Afro-nerd listener featuring Captain Kirk, you should know that year. I don't have to get into 1865 at this given point. Now, what we have to understand with Texas, just as the black man embodies means from being freed as a slave, remember they told us, I free you, and you are nothing more than a freed slave. And then these same means are attached to a lot of us today. A lot of the same people passed on from generation to generation have the same slave state meme mentality. So they have a problem. So what's happening right now, because Mr. Obama, now let's just speak about Obama. Obama did something that's rather incredible. There's only been 10 presidents to win it twice throughout the whole history. Only 10. And of course, he's the first black man, so he did it twice. That's a big deal, so we need to give a round of applause to that. Only been 10 to ever do it. Now, but back to the point. That was just by the by. But back to the point. What's happening with these individuals at this given point is that all the emotion is coming up to the top. And all this is really doing is driving wedges between people. And also, it fuels like the militia, people like that, the rogue individuals that say, let me go buy more guns. America is this. America is that. America is changing. You have to just change along with it. That's all. Back to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking here, Captain, that, you're hearing more and more stories, as I said before, more and more implosions, more and more sour grapes. And I don't know if the Republican Party and or conservatives are taking note, taking heed as to what they need to do to calibrate, to do some readjustments on how to become a more inviting, a more diverse party. You know, I'm thinking here, I'm saying, you know, why aren't these people rebranding themselves? I mean, I say this all the time about what black folks need to do. We had a show a few months ago talking about China, how China now is a world leader, and what it was not always the case. What happened is 20-some-odd years ago, they made a concerted effort to rebrand themselves. And actually, it was the article that we referenced a few months ago was about the need for black folk to do what China did in rebranding themselves. So anyway, what am I saying? Everyone, every being, every entity, on occasion, will have to do some self-effacing move, meaning look inwardly, assess the damage, and make the appropriate adjustments, the appropriate corrections. And I don't see the Republican Party doing that. I would think to make themselves more appealing. But we've got a lot of things that should be going on. First of all, in general, we need to have a multi-party system anyway. We don't have a parliamentary system like France or the UK. But although we don't have that kind of system, we should at least have a viable multi-party system. But it is so expensive to run for office, as you can see. This was a billion dollar endeavor with this last campaign. So it's a pretty rough proposition. Anyway, I would think what would make the conservatives more appealing is if they embraced their more libertarian streak. Stay out of people's bedrooms, get off the religion thing, make it strictly business. Approach everyone, all these diverse groups, with a plan. You should have a black agenda as a Republican Party. You should have a Latino or Hispanic agenda, an Asian agenda, a female agenda. But they've been working and calibrating with an old calculator. Their old calculator is more or less about separation. Because it works. It wasn't always that way. There were black Republicans for a long time. Post-1960, things turned around. They employed the Southern strategy, employing the racist streak that lies within the Southern states. So now, you know, it's 50 years now. You can't employ that. Some things just won't work. If you look at it from a mathematical / strictly political determination, if you look at it strictly from politics and math, what they did, albeit it was amoral or immoral, worked. It's not working anymore. Time to readjust, embrace your libertarian edge, maybe read a few Ayn Rand books, I'm just saying, although Paul Ryan had to hide that because of the right-wing nuts. He had to hide that, the more logical strain of the conservative movement. Appeal to these groups on getting business, dealing with the infrastructure. Stay away from their bedrooms. Stay away from their religions, their religion. And you could probably one-up the Democrats. Because I have problems with Democrats because they have the whole make-me-feel-good thing. This is our meme. You know, it's a joke we talk about here, but it's real. They're into speechifying and making people of color feel good. Doesn't really take away their situation, though. Still, unemployment is high. The bridges need to be fixed. The economy is still in shambles. There are things that are here that have to be dealt with. But the Republicans stay on the race thing. I mean, you know, quickly before we move along, we're actually going to go to a quick musical break. I was looking at the caucus blog. It's a blog section of the New York Times called The Caucus. And it goes in on something that I think actually occurred today with Governor Romney. Talking about sore losers and being clueless. You know, instead of dealing with the matters at hand, brushing off the dust and figuring out a plan. They're all emotion now, Captain. So the caucus, again, the blog from the New York Times, I'm going to read this thing quickly, just to give you more indications of implosions. The caucus blog is entitled, this particular entry is entitled, Romney Blames Loss on Obama's Gifts to Minorities and Young Voters. Right back to Bill O'Reilly. They want stuff. They want stuff. You can't continue to insult people if you're seeking their vote. It's the word to the wise. Anyway, this is what it says. A week after losing the election to President Obama, Mitt Romney blamed his overwhelming electoral loss on what he said were big gifts that the president had bestowed on loyal Democratic constituencies, including young voters, African Americans, and Hispanics. Mind you, this is my words now, folks. These are the very people you need to get into the game, and you say he bestowed gifts on these folks. Okay, he also says, in a conference call on Wednesday afternoon with his National Finance Committee, Mr. Romney said that the president had followed the old playbook of wooing specific interest groups, especially the African American community, the Hispanic community, and young people. Mr. Romney explained, with targeted gifts and initiatives. In each case, they were very generous in what they gave to those groups, Mr. Romney said. With regards to the young people, for instance, a forgiveness of college loan interest was a big gift, he said. Free contraceptives were very big with young college-age women. And then finally, Obamacare also made a difference for them because, as you know, anybody now 26 years of age and younger was now going to be part of their parents' plan, and that was a big gift to young people. They turned out in large numbers, a larger share in this election even than in 2008. All right. We're going to go to another musical break. But I say this because I believe in being honest. I'm not trying to be partisan, although I have a conservative bent. I'm not trying to be partisan. I'm going to be honest. To Mr. Romney, do you think your proposed tax cuts to the wealthy would have been construed as a gift? Do you think tax cuts to the wealthy would have been considered a gift? Come on now. We need a gig, Captain. No one's kicking it hard, and I don't know why. You can't talk about gifts for Obama's people not thinking that you weren't going to give quote-unquote gifts to your constituencies. Whatever. Amazing. All right, going into another groove. This is actually the great Miles Davis's ex-wife, who was a funkster in her own right, Betty Davis, not the Betty Davis of classic film, the Betty Davis of color. This is called If I'm in Luck, I Might Just Get Picked Up. Folks, time to groove. We'll be back in a few moments. Once again, that was the great Betty Davis, If I'm in luck, I might just get picked up. Funk classic from the late Miles Davis's wife. I should say, well, from the late Miles Davis, his ex-wife, Betty Davis. All right, folks, Saffron Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, 646-915-9620. Quick transition, real brief, brief acknowledgement, brief blue area moment. There's something we started quite a while ago called the blue area. I'm always explaining this. I know we get new listeners. What does the blue area mean? Well, in comic book lore, I know folks are becoming more and more interested in Marvel Comics because of the Avengers, that billion-dollar film franchise. Anyway, in Marvel comic lore, there's a section of the moon. This, of course, this isn't fiction, folks. This is fiction. It's an area of the moon called the blue area where the characters can actually breathe air. There's actually a group of heroes called the Inhumans. Just like you have the X-Men, you have the Inhumans, again, in Marvel lore, that have a society on the moon, but it's in an area of the moon where they can breathe air. So in Afro Nerd lore, where we breathe air, where we're not always focusing on minstrelsy and avarice and crime and politics and racism and all that kind of stuff, there's a moment where we take time to acknowledge, we take time to literally breathe fresh air. So for our Blue Area segment, I want to focus on black genius. Now, last time, the last show, I spoke about these tablets, these solar powered tablets that were, I guess, in the sake of a weird experiment. I hate to use that term, but that's what it was, an experiment where solar-powered tablets were left in an Ethiopian village where that particular village was known for being for having a high rate of illiteracy. And you can check this back, check this with our last broadcast. They had these tablets, and without prompting, without instruction, they were these quote-unquote formerly illiterate villagers were able to hack these tablets, customize them, and learn how to read, learn the alphabet. Obviously, a case that succinctly debunks any notion of black inferiority. Well, I have another one. This is in Nigeria. We have four young Nigerian women, young teenagers, that developed a generator that is powered by urine. Pretty amazing. This generator can provide power up to 6 hours with only human waste. Now, interestingly enough, I've seen stuff like this talked about with feces. I mean, this is pretty gross stuff, folks, but when you think about it, human waste is always being produced. There's an abundance of it. Some of it's coming from, I don't want to go there, but some of it's coming from our world leaders or what have you, from our politicians. But this is a different kind of waste. But if we were able to harness what comes natural and produce energy, this is phenomenal. So, again, teenage Nigerians, young budding scientists, developed a generator that runs on urine. So let me read this quick piece before we move along. This is from Engadget.com, and you can also go to AfriGadget, Afri as an African, AfriGadget.com and or Engadget.com. And it says quickly, urine-powered generator produces 6 hours of electricity per bathroom break. We've all heard the expression haste makes waste, but how about waste-making energy? At the fourth annual Maker Faire Africa in Lagos, Nigeria, a quartet of teenage girls ages 14 through 15 have created a urine-powered generator. This eco-friendly energy source cranks about 6 hours of electricity for every liter of human bodily fluid by separating the excretion's hydrogen with electrolytic cell. We're not supposed to be able to do this, folks. Allegedly. And I said this before from the last broadcast, that such a focus on the natural resources, the conventional idea of what a natural resource is in Africa, gold, uranium, what have you, that you have budding scientists that for some reason, well, you know what the reason is. As a culture, and I'm talking about just black people, I'm talking about America and internationally, we will continue to lose unless we start to take note, start to take advantage of these young folk, young and old, that think outside the box, that debunk these stereotypes, where what knows what we could accomplish if we can get around this race thing. You have folks that want to go back to 1861, Captain. There's people that want to go back to 1861, and the future shows generators being powered by our own waste. What's going on? Any thoughts before we go to the Petraeus affair, Petraeus and Emo?
Well, having traveled to Lagos, Nigeria, 2 times, and as I said here on the show, the Nigerians are very intelligent people. Very intelligent people. Now, this is good that the rest of the world gets to see this. It should have been a bigger article. It should be blasted everywhere. But even a bigger problem than that is that, you see, this technology is not really new technology because the combustion engine has really been obsolete since 1950. So the powers that be, the oil people, the bankers who shake hands all day long, those individuals, eventually you're not going to be able to control the masses of the people anymore. Eventually, a lot of these things that they've held back, you understand, are going to come out. These are things that's been around for a while. Now, when people in Nigeria who are not supposed to be doing it, are not supposed to be doing it, are doing it, one, it shows, one, that they're very smart, and also, two, the powers that be are losing their grip on things. That's the reality of it. And then as they lose their grip, then we can actually become free from all the foolishness. There is things out there with free energy and everything else. They just don't want you to have it because they will not be able to control you anymore. So this is tremendous. I like this blue area. And that's all I really have to say on it. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, this is something that I don't know why folks aren't really digging into this more. I mean, you know, there's a grotesque part of it in a way, but it makes perfect sense. You know, if you do a cursory review on Google, they have, dare I say, Captain, feces-powered vehicles. Do you know about this? I mean, there are certain areas in the United States from farms that are able that you're able to, you know, gain power from methane gas. Methane gas is what comes from the poo, as it were. But if you take
pig
into account,
especially,
but if you take into account human waste, and animal excrement, and this is stuff. Who knows what's happening to this stuff anyway? You know, what's happening? But you know, if we could harness this power would not go away. This is a power, Captain. That is infinite. Oil is finite, okay? But human feces, and I mean, it's grotesque. It is grotesque. But if we were able to turn something that is grotesque into something that is viable, you know, I don't know what's going on. Well, like you said, I don't know what's going on. It just defies logic. It really does. So I must commend these young women for creating this tool, this device. But the reality, as you just said, there's a lot of things that are on this same track that could really solve a lot of our problems. You know, there's a thing called the biobug. It's literally in a Volkswagen. And you can look this up from British engineers, where it's a 2-liter VW Beetle that's powered on methane gas. Powered by human poo. Why are we had to deal with lines last week, Captain. Why are we doing this? Why aren't we thinking outside the box?
That's the control.
This is what Barack Obama is up against. Mm-hmm. And if he really tried to rock the boat, as we said many, many times before, he will get the JFK pink slip. Pink slip.
Yes, sir.
All right. Real quick, wow, time flies. Just a brief notation on the Petraeus affair, General Petraeus. Of course, you know he's in hot water. If you haven't been living under a rock, he has stepped down as head of the CIA because of this affair, or I should say alleged affair. But I think he's acknowledged, of course. There's several women involved in this. I think one it was not in an affair with the general. It's not that I've heard, but email exchanges, emotionalism, man of power, taken down because of his loins. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, this is a historical thing. This has been going on since time immemorial. Anyway, it's a quick clip from CNN about the Petraeus affair. Time is afoot, so we'll probably have to revisit this on Wednesday. On Sunday. But let's listen to CNN anyway. Hold on, folks. CNN on General Petraeus. Hold on.
This is one reason why an affair between General David Petraeus and his biographer, Paula Broadwell, is raising questions about whether the relationship put national security at risk.
Now, I don't know if a lot of you have heard this, but the CIA annex had actually had taken a couple of Libyan militia members prisoner, and they think that the attack on the consulate was an effort to try to get these prisoners back. So that's still being vetted.
The sharing of unvetted material about Benghazi, a serious claim that the CIA was holding prisoners, and that was one of the reasons for the attack, a claim that a senior intelligence officer adamantly denies ever happened. But when someone outside the chain of command has unfettered access to the man at the top, it gives whatever they say added credibility. The New York Times reported classified information was found on Broadwell's computer.
I do not know how she got that information. We should find out. I don't know why. It's a rather confused situation.
A U.S. official told CNN there were no issues with Broadwell's access and noted she did have security clearance. The source also tells CNN the FBI investigation that led to the discovery of the affair uncovered no evidence that national security was ever put at risk. That's not surprising, says a retired general who knows Petraeus.
There's absolutely almost 0% chance that national security was compromised or was at risk.
But it does raise questions about what's allowed. According to a senior intelligence official, having an affair does not itself constitute a security violation, unless it's with someone from another country and not reported. And there are no rules that keep government personnel holding high security clearances from having private email accounts. A U.S. official said Petraeus used such an account to exchange personal emails with Broadwell. Meanwhile, friends of David Petraeus out in force Monday.
It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for the nation. It's a tragedy for the agency, including a tragedy for the Petraeus family.
General Petraeus spent the weekend talking with friends who have offered their support, and they've told CNN that the affair began after Petraeus took the director position about a year ago, and that it ended about 4 months ago. Petraeus has insisted to them that he had an affair with just one woman.
All right, folks, listen, time flies when you're having fun. We got about 3 minutes remaining. Any thoughts, Captain? Also, real quick, folks, again, we'll probably have to go into this more deeply during Sunday's double duty Grindhouse Sunday broadcast. We have two shows. Also, just a heads up that dear friend of the show, coming soon, Jody Watley. Miss Jody Watley should be coming up pretty soon. We just have to get the dates together. She has a new single coming out, so we'll definitely also unveil her new single forthcoming. Anyway, any thoughts on this before we head on up, Captain?
Well, in the modern day era, 2012, you cannot creep at all if you're a married man, especially if you're an individual such as this that has a lot of power. Everything has to be put on the table, every move that you make, in every which way, shape, and form, because what may potentially may happen, even though that it does not happen, potentially may happen. So that's over. That's over. That's the bottom line. You have to just be the married guy, and this is your wife, and she has a certain security clearance. That's it. The Marilyn Monroe days are over. They are over. That's it.
All right, folks. It's been real. We'll pick it up on Sunday with the great Daryl B for the Comic Shop. That's going to be a pretty pretty heavy-duty show. We're going to talk about blackface minstrelsy and nerddom. I'll explain on Sunday. It's a little weird.
it's a little weird. Fake nerds is what essentially we're talking about. And fake nerds, and it has something to do with blackface, but not how you think it. We'll get into it on Sunday, and we'll pick up on this Petraeus affair on Sunday as well. All right, folks, see you on Sunday. This is Erykah Badu with her classic On and On. It's been real. Thanks again.
Like 1, 2, 3, the earth keeps turning.